Pink Bluzek, Bash University TV. I'm here with my good friend Brandon Polonick.
Yes.
Good to see you, buddy.
Good seeing you.
The prodigy.
Yeah.
It's great. You're one of our most popular speakers at Bash University, and it's because you fish a little differently than a lot of people, and you're able to. The thing that I like most about it, you can convey that message really well. So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I want to thank you
for
being part of our program. And I'm really excited about this. I know you got to be too.
Yes.
But you've been developing, you've been famous for glide bait fishing, and you've been developing this bait for a long time now.
Yes.
And it's available right now. Tell us about it.
Like a little kid in a candy store, pretty much this week. This is 3 years in the making. So this is the Stormarashi glide bait. Give you guys just a quick little peek of that. I've been teasing it a little bit on social media and stuff, and I've got hundreds of pictures and hundreds of hours of just content and footage from this bait over the last 3 years of going through different prototypes. And what we realized is, like, what I really wanted a bait to do, the hardest part was that a lot of those things were contradicting. So the things I was asking the PD team to come up with were contradicting each other. And what I mean by that is I wanted a bait that could glide super wide, right? So back and forth, super wide, you know, where I'm getting a good couple foot chunk side to side. But then I also wanted to be able to burn that bait and keep that bait stable where it didn't blow out and it would track nice and true and the joints would tighten up and you could burn that bait and stop it and not have the hooks foul up. And that's really what took the longest was to be able to get this bait to do all of those things, because I'm not going to go into a lot of detail of let other people figure it out if they want to try building baits, but those things contradict each other when you're building a bait.
Yeah.
To make one do one thing really well or do the other really well, the bait is built completely opposite. And so we really had to get into the shape, the weighting, even where this line tie is located. If you move this up or down a centimeter, it changes how that bait reacts in the water and the stability of it, even all the way down to like tail hardness and how much this tail can flex in the water, things like that. And so it's a very stable bait, but it took a long time to get that stability into it. And I think that's probably the biggest separator from a lot of other glide baits out there, because I've thrown nearly all of them. And there's a ton of really good ones out there, but it's hard to find one that can do all of those things. And so I wanted to build one that the guy that hasn't ever thrown a bait can pick it up and he can easily fish it and do those things without getting frustrated with the hooks fouling up or getting hung up. I want a guy to be able to just slowly reel this thing. And so we'll give you guys a little bit, some tips on how to actually fish this thing.
Number one, let me interrupt. They're probably like pissed off at you over product development. They're like, dude, you're sending it back again.
Yeah, I think there was a point in the 3 years that they thought, are we ever actually going to release this thing?
Right. But
I was not going to put this one out without it being what I considered to be perfect, right?
Yeah.
Well, I have so much passion about swim bait fishing, and I've spent so many hours dialing it in that if we were gonna build one, I wanted it to be right.
Mm-hmm.
And if that took another 2 years, you know, if it would've been 5 years down the road, like I was willing to go through that battle and that journey to get it. And I think there were definitely some times they're like, you know, can we push this out? We need to get it out.
Well, I tell you what, you know, novice glide bait anglers like myself appreciate it, because we need something that is simple, that isn't, because it's somewhat of a complicated technique. But one of the things that most of the people that I talk to, and myself included, is we're intimidated to throw a bait like this. What advice can you give us that are intimidated to pick up a 6-inch bait that weighs about 8 ounces?
So the biggest thing you need to understand is that bass are opportunistic feeders.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is when you present them an opportunity, they will take advantage of it, because they don't have a dinner menu that they can order off of and have someone bring food to them, right? So a lot of times they're an ambush and an opportunistic feeder. So they will hide next to a dock or in a grass bed or around a rock pile or something where they can ambush the bait when it comes by. And so when that opportunity presents itself, they take advantage of it. The other thing is that swim bait fishing is generally targeting larger than average fish, right? Mm-hmm. So if I go up to Chesapeake Bay and I'm fishing out there on the flats, I will catch fish on this, guaranteed. There will be a time of year that the fish are out there, the water's clean enough, I can catch fish on this. I say that because I've caught some on it, on the prototypes when we were there. But what will happen is you, even pressured fish will react different to a swim bait, and especially a glide bait. So you, once you start doing it, you see these fish in this trance. And so those larger than average fish, or even just those average sized fish, will react to the bait because it's something different. It's very natural in its movement. But then you can also create that erratic movement, and it's really just a matter of getting it out there. And this is gonna sound crazy, but I have caught 10 and 8 inch bass on this bait. This bait's 7.5 inches, wow. It weighs 3 ounces. And for whatever reason, even those little ones, they come up and they hit it. I don't know if they're trying to school with it, if they're trying to eat it. I mean, I weighed a lot of like 1 to 2 pounders this year on this bait in tournaments that they just take that opportunity, right? And a bass, they don't have hands, so they can't grab something. So if you pique their curiosity enough, they have to open their mouth and they have to put it in their mouth to test it. They don't have hands to pick it up and look at it like we're doing now.
Yeah.
To investigate it, they have to put it in their mouth. And so as anglers, we're just trying to trick them into being curious enough that they take that opportunity.
That's amazing. I'm feeling a lot more confident already. I mean, 8-inch bass are reacting to this. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I've seen it in action. Now I know you spent all this time developing it. Let's go back to those tips. Let's give some guys, all right, I got this bait, I'm taking it out on the water, you know, like maybe when should I be taking it out? Is it a cold water, warm water deal?
Yeah, that's a great place to start. So really 50 degrees is kind of that magic mark when you're talking big baits. I don't know if it's a metabolism thing that happens with those fish or it's some sort of aggression thing that happens, like below 50, it's really tough to get those fish on a big swim bait bite. Now there's a few places in the country that those fish just live naturally colder water and they'll react, you know, 46, 47 degrees. But 50 degrees seems to be that magic mark where I'll start pulling out the big baits. And the cool thing with a glide bait is I was talking about that versatility of it. I can fish this bait really slow, nice and wide glides, and it's just nice and easy moving along, so it's an easy target for those colder water fish. And then as the water temps warm up, then I start to speed things up, get a little bit more erratic. And that's when it really starts to shine. So when those fish get right before they go on the spawn, those pre-spawn fish, even into the spawn, catch a lot of spawning fish on it, and then into that post-spawn and summer months, and then cycling back into the fall. The biggest thing is just where you fish it and how you fish it. So every day can be a little bit different. Conditions wise, sunshine is better.
You said this in your seminar, and that blew my hair back. Like, I'm thinking I gotta have overcast, wind, rain to be throwing a bait like
this. So, wind is good, but sunshine as well. You know, my favorite days are those partly cloudy days. You got those big puffy, I believe they're cumulus clouds maybe, the big puffy ones. And usually when you have those, you also have some wind. And so that partly sunny, where you've got good light penetration into the water, because the fish want to be able to see this bait. And what happens with that is the farther they can see this bait from, the farther they'll come to chase it down and eat it. And so when you're fishing those clear water situations, you can bring them up from 20, 25 foot to come check out this bait. And then it's your job when you see that fish to get them to bite. And there's a couple ways to do that. Usually what I like to do is I like to speed the bait up. So if this bait's nice and slow, going back and forth, and the way you do that, 3/4 turns. Right? So a little, just a quick 3/4 turn, and then that pause is what allows that bait to glide. It needs slack in your line.
Right.
So it's like throwing a jerk bait or throwing a topwater. To get it to go side to side, you have to have a little bit of slack. If your line's straight, it just pulls straight. So you do that 3/4 turn and pause, this bait comes forward, glides, 3/4 turn back, and glides back again. So all you want to do is when you want to speed it up, you just make those turns quicker. And if you turn and you do a little pull with the rod tip and you throw that rod tip back, this bait is gonna glide and it's gonna spin, and it's gonna spin all the way around.
Wow.
And face that fish. Now remember, if you go back to when I talked about how they're opportunistic feeders, a bass knows that it wants to eat head first. Because if you think about a perch, crappie, bluegill, fins. They got those spines,
yeah.
Right? So they want to eat it down, going into their throat, fins down.
Mm-hmm.
They try to eat it this way, they can't get past those fins,
yeah.
Right? So they get it down and they're able to choke it down.
Yep.
And if they have to open their mouth to reposition, it's a lot harder for that bait fish to swim backwards than mm-hmm. it is to swim forward. So when you spin that bait around, when you have a follower, that creates that instinct. They have to choose, here's my opportunity, and they attack that
right.
bait.
Now, are you doing this on every cast? Like, or do you wait till you see fish till you start really making it dance like that? Or?
So most of the time, I would say 80% of the time, I'm just that slow three-quarter turn handles, making this bait side to side. Because that's what's gonna create that draw power. That's mm-hmm. what's gonna bring those fish out. But a lot of times I'll fish it around like dock pilings or floating docks, or you know, say lay down trees, and I'll actually work this bait in and around. So the more you play with this bait, you realize that you can turn the handle quick and go half the distance and turn that handle again and then let it glide wider this way and then short and wider this way. So I can actually work this bait underneath a floating dock, right, by just
wow.
doing a short turn out and then a longer turn in, short turn out, longer turn in. And it actually will end up underneath those floats further and further.
Right where they're at?
Yeah, so if I'm fishing a situation where I'm around that, you know, cover or specific places where I think those fish are at, then I'll create that extra action mm-hmm. around that cover because I feel like that's where that bass is positioned, that's where they're trying to ambush the bait.
Well, you're doing this with, like you're not using your rod that much. The importance of the rod and reel have got to be huge with this.
Yeah, so that's one thing. I mean, we're talking a 7.5-inch bait.
Mm-hmm.
It's 3 ounces, three mm-hmm. and an eighth ounce.
3 ounces, okay.
You can't throw it on your jerkbait rod. Or like you need a setup, right? You don't want to be throwing this thing on 10-pound test because even though it's got a really good price point at $35, it's like half the price of most glide baits. You don't want to break it off. So what I do is I throw it on 20-pound. Throw it on 20-pound Seaguar Tatsu a lot of times, or even 25 if I'm around really heavy cover or big fish. But it reacts the best on 20-pound Tatsu. A little bit of stretch is good. And then for the rod, you want to be throwing it on like a 7.5 at least. I throw a 7.9. It's an Alpha Angler Wide Glide is what it's called. And we're actually releasing that rod for this bait. So it's in conjunction with this bait where we actually tested like that different lengths, same blank in an 8-footer
yep.
would not perform as well as a 7.9. And you're able to have a little bit more versatility with it. And that's a heavy action rod, but it's got a little bit of parabolic bend to it so that the treble hooks are able to, stick inside
yeah.
the fish, right? Because you've got a lot of leverage here. That's why one thing we did was came up with rotating hook hangers. So that those fish can't get as much leverage. So you got 360 degrees of rotation.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing. And then your reel, I throw a Daiwa Tatula 150. It's a fairly inexpensive reel, it's $160. But it's got a bigger handle on it. It's got good size knobs on it. And it's a good size reel. You know, you see a lot of guys in California throwing big giant round reels. I don't have that big of hands. I don't feel like I've got as much power. And when I'm fishing this around targets and you know tight targets, a little bit smaller reel, I feel like I'm a little bit more accurate with my casts.
Gotcha.
So that's kind of the setup.
Well, all this stuff, guys, is available at the Bass University Tackle Shop. It's
yeah.
And links are going to be right underneath this video. It's all available right now, so that's pretty amazing. I'm
yep.
super excited to get some.
Yes.
What's the color that I need to get?
Ooh, so we have 9 colors.
Okay.
This is my favorite. Looks like nothing, looks like everything. That's what I tell people. I call it Okiwamisu.
What do we call it?
Okiwamisu.
Okiwamisu.
That's what I call it. So this is kind of the color that, like, I just always start with this color.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've got shad patterns. We've got greengill, bluegill. We've got all these mixed patterns. We've got 2 trout patterns. We've got a clear ghost pattern and then just a standard trout pattern. So it really depends if they're like dialed in on a certain forage. Like if they're dialed in on gizzard shad, then I'll pick up something like threadfin or black silver shad. Or if you go up north and they're dialed in on perch, then usually I pick up green gill because it looks a lot like a perch. But this is kind of the one that it kind of looks like a shad, kind of looks like a perch, a little bit like a bluegill. It's just a confidence thing for me.
Do they eat that color on the Chesapeake?
Yeah. Dang right they do.
We're going to have to get a couple of those. Yep. When a fish, I got to ask this.
Yeah.
Fish commits to this bait. Boom. Are you pausing? Are you setting on the strike? And are you, like, I've heard you got to reel these things straight in and flip them. How do you do it? What's the best way to land a fish once you got the strike?
Every fish is going to be a little, or every situation is going to be a little bit different. The hardest thing to do is when you see them eat close to the boat, and that happens a lot of times because, again, that opportunistic thing. When that bait gets close to the boat, the bass doesn't necessarily know it's a boat, but it's some type of structure that that bait fish can hide and get away from them.
That makes sense.
So a lot of strikes happen when you see that fish or you create that action. The worst thing you can do is see that fish eat and reel down and just put the wood to him. Because odds are you're gonna break him off or you're gonna set the hook before he ever gets it in his mouth. Because it's a fairly big bait. If you're just out there and you make a long cast and they eat it on the end of the cast, when you feel them, you can reel down and lay into them as hard as you can because you've got a lot of stretch in the line. They're way out there. But when they're close, the best thing you can do is when they eat it, just give it a couple turns in and they're gonna be coming to the boat. You know, so I just turn and make sure that line's tight and lean into them. And it's so short that you're gonna do the damage, right? You've got heavy line, heavy rod. Because I've done it plenty of times where you see one eat it, you get excited, he's following it, and you get him to come up and nip at it, and you jerk it right out of his mouth, or you break him off because you set the hook way too hard and you only got that much line out. So that's kind of the rule of thumb. If I can see him, I try to just reel into him and lean into him real quick. And then to your point of just bringing him in, it's really the best thing you can do because you want to try to keep their head down. And the best thing is if you can, if their mouth opens up and you can keep cranking on them, that's why you want that bigger reel, they can't move. They can't breathe when their mouth is open. They can't fight, right? They can't swim with their mouth open. So if you can get their mouth open full of water, you just keep them coming. Just bring them.
Now, boat flipping, what's your rule of thumb? 5 pounds and under, you're boat flipping or over? Do you have a rule like that?
I don't really have a rule. It's situational, right? Okay. Like if I get one coming and he's got his mouth open, you know, even if it's a 6-7 pounder, a lot of times you can boat flip them and bring them in. But the best thing is, like, you know, go down, grab them, but you got to be quick, right? You don't want them slashing around.
It's a 3-ounce bait that he can use to get off.
We've done everything we can to minimize their leverage, but really the best thing to do is, if it's a 3 or 4 pounder, I'm just boat flipping them in, grab them quick. But if you hook an 8 or 9 pounder and it's in a tournament, you might want to go down and lip it. Just be cautious.
Well, good advice. Now, I want to ask you a story, because one of my favorite stories with you is why I watched you at one of our seminars. You were on a bass tank, and you had every fish in that bass tank following your glide bait right to your feet.
Yep.
I mean, there was 30 or 40 fish in the tank, and they followed it right to your
feet. And I walked to the other end and bring them all the way to the other end.
I couldn't believe it. Yeah. I'm like, I've never seen anything impact fish like this.
Yeah.
When you've been out there in the, what's the coolest or craziest thing that you've seen? I'm imagining you see them follow the bait a lot.
Yeah, you do see them follow it. And that's what really separates a lot of baits, is being able to get those fish to commit.
Yeah.
When you see those followers. And I feel like that's where we've really kind of broken through on that, is getting those followers. Now, you're not gonna get everyone. It just won't happen. You know, there's different situations, but what does happen is that draw power of those fish, when you can bring them up, you know where that fish is. So you can come back at a different time of day, a different angle. I've done that lots of times where you'll see a fish, maybe you didn't come at the right angle the first time, so you let that fish just settle. You know, I don't mess with him. You're like, okay, I know he came from that tree, come from a better angle where that fish can't see the boat as well maybe, and then you're able to get that fish to bite. And I think probably the coolest thing I see with this bait a lot of times is when you're reeling it in and that fish comes up behind it and he follows it and he is, you can tell that that fish knows nothing else is going on around them. Like the rest of the world does not matter. All they care about is this bait. And I've seen them where they literally get within inches of the trolling motor where they're about to run into the trolling motor and you're kind of, you know, you're backing up.
You're and, running out of real
Yeah, estate. Like I'm running out and I'm trying to get them to go back and then they come out of that trance. Like they realize like, wait, how did I get here? Like they almost woke up from a dream or something.
That's
and
awesome.
Just seeing fish react to that, mm-hmm. there's nothing else out there that gets fish to react like that.
Your heart's going crazy.
Yeah, your heart's pounding and they're just kind of in this trance of this bait. Yeah. And like, you know, you have fish follow spinner baits and crank baits and topwaters and stuff and they follow it, but then they just disappear. Yeah. They don't sit there looking like, okay, where'd it go? And I think that's probably the coolest thing with it.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations on amazing bait, man.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I appreciate you taking the time
You're
to talk
welcome.
To us. You know, I'm gonna become a glide bait fisherman. I hope you do too. I'm Pete Gluzek for Bass University. This is Brandon Polinick. We'll be back with more real soon.
Head over to BassU.TV, the premier learning destination in bass fishing. Over 600 in-depth videos geared to help you catch more and bigger bass. Use the promo code BassULive19 for 10 days free. That's BassULive19 to get BassU TV free for 10 days. Get the Bass University Advantage today.